1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. I'm not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On the Friday edition of the program, can the Bears beat the Saints on Sunday? We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Bob Nightingale. He covers baseball for USA Today. We talked to him about some Cubs news, White Sox news, his Baseball Hall of Fame ballot, and some national MLB news. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. You're going to tell me I'm crazy. I know. You're going to tell me I'm delusional. I don't know what I'm talking about. What games have I been watching all year? Believe me, I've heard it before. But I think that today, the Chicago Bears have a legitimate path to victory over New Orleans. I do. John, what are you talking about? New Orleans is great. 12-4, Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Mike Thomas. Are you an idiot? I'm not. But the Saints' record, and Drew Brees specifically, are two of the most deceptive things in the NFL today. When you hear the name Drew Brees, what do you think of? MVP, 5,000 passing yards, great quarterback, Super Bowl winner. None of those things apply to Drew Brees today. He's 41. He can't throw the ball downfield anymore, 5 to 10 yards only. He's been beat up. He was hurt this year. He's not an essential part of the Saints offense. And he's about to retire. At the end of this year, he's done. His mind is already in retirement mode. He has no motivation to do what he did before. His career could not be better for an NFL quarterback. All-time passing yards leader. All-time touchdown leader, Super Bowl win, first ballot Hall of Famer, pish-posh NBC TV gig. There's nothing more he needs. And by the way, when he was out, the Saints still won. They still did fine. They didn't need him. Last year, when Teddy Bridgewater came in, the Saints still won. They didn't need him. Drew Brees is no longer an essential must-have piece for the New Orleans Saints offense. If anything, he's more of a liability, and here's why. You could look at his numbers and say, wow, what a year he's had, but he can't throw the ball downfield, he needs a ton of protection, and he relies so heavily on the gadget pieces around him, Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. Without those four players, Drew Brees this year would be an average NFL quarterback. All of the yards and touchdowns and stats he racks up come after the catch. And because New Orleans has an outstanding run game, the pass game opens up. It's that simple. Drew Brees is small. He's not mobile. And if the Bears' pass rush can be what it should be, he'll be in a lot of trouble. Imagine Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, all coming after him, playing head games with him, replicating what they did against Tampa when they took down Tom Brady. That's possible. If that happens, New Orleans will have to solely rely on the run game. And if the Bears know the run is coming, it won't be that effective. That's the biggest worry, Alvin Kamara. Probably the best dual-threat running back in the NFL today, no question. 5 yards per carry, catches the ball, runs for 1,000 yards per year. He's the whole package. But if the Bears neutralize the passing game, if they force Drew Brees to make bad decisions and try and throw the ball downfield and get him to make a mistake, the Saints will have no choice but to run the football. They have Kamara, they have Murray. If the Bears know it's coming, they'll defend it. They've shut down running backs this year. Dalvin Cook, great example. I guarantee you, Alvin Kamara is not going to rush for 6 touchdowns against the Bears' defense. I know they're not great. I know in years past they were better. But there is no chance Alvin Kamara rushes for 5 or 6 touchdowns. The Bears have to force Drew Brees to be out of his comfort zone. They have to force the Saints to prioritize running the football. They have to make Drew Brees make a mistake. In essence, they have to let Drew Brees beat them. Force Drew Brees to beat you. Force him to be who he was 10, 15 years ago. He is not that quarterback anymore. If you force him to be that, he won't do it. And you'll have a field day defensively. And you will win the game. Plain and simple. Now, offensively, the Bears have to commit to the run game. I can't stress this enough. And fortunately, they have recently with David Montgomery. But there can't be 10, 15 carries. No, 25 to 30. 25 to 30 carries for David Montgomery. Average 4 yards a carry, get 100 yards. That's what they need. That opens up play action. That opens up rollouts. And those are, without question, Mitch Trubisky's strengths. He loves plays like that. Roll out, throw near the line of scrimmage, have the receiver do the work. Play action, slant up the middle, 10, 15 yards, have the receiver run more and do more work for you. They have to establish the run. It's so important. And we saw that completely neglected in the Green Bay game. It wasn't as prioritized as it was in weeks past. Instead, the Bears wanted to pass, pass, pass. They took Mitch out of his comfort zone. They said, take some shots downfield. That's not who he is. And that doesn't mean he's a bad quarterback. There are a couple of quarterbacks in the NFL today who aren't capable of throwing it downfield. They still win games. They still put up numbers. Alex Smith and Drew Brees. Two great examples. I know they're older, their arms aren't stronger, they were injured. Still, despite all of that, when we're just comparing performances, not injuries, they win. Alex Smith is a winning quarterback. Drew Brees is a winning quarterback. And although his philosophy today is different from 10 years ago, he still wins football games. His numbers are a bit deceiving, but in the end, he wins. He has enough weapons around him to change the game. He himself directly, maybe not, but with the weapons, he does. Mitch Trubisky could be that same quarterback, and he could prove a lot on Sunday. Imagine if Mitch wins. What are people going to say then? They'll probably say, what? It was deceiving. It shouldn't have happened. They caught Drew Brees on a bad day. They caught the Saints on a bad day. They're 12-4. No, give me a break. The Saints are deceiving. I know they're good, but they're deceiving. We talk about the Saints every single year as Super Bowl contenders. And every year, in the first round of the playoffs, they find a way to screw it up. They can't beat Minnesota. They cry so loud about a missed PI call that the NFL changes the rule for them for 1 year to pay him back. I still can't believe that happened. Look, on the outside, they want to win a Super Bowl. But Drew Brees on the inside knows he already has one. His mentality is not, I'm going to leave it all out on the field. I'm going to do what I can to win. His mentality is, I hope I'm in one piece in a couple of weeks so I could retire. That's what it is. He's 41. And if you remember, they already played each other this year. It went to overtime. The Bears were in it all game, and they had Nick Foles in. And Nick Foles did okay, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 93 passer rating. If Mitch could do the same, or do just a tick better, the Bears could win. And keep in mind, that was back when there was no run game established. When David Montgomery wasn't rushing for 100 yards per game. When he didn't even get 15 to 20 carries a game, let alone more. The Bears were a much different team back then compared to today. So the question is, what will they do? Are they going to abide by that horrible game plan? Like the one we saw against Green Bay? No running, forcing Mitch to be out of his comfort zone, throw the ball downfield, hope for a miracle? Or are we going to see what they did against Houston and Jacksonville? And Minnesota. An emphasis on running. Defensive stops when needed. Not all the time, but when needed. Mitch, throwing the ball 5 to 10 yards only. No deep balls, no crazy shots downfield. He could take risks. What are we going to see? What should we expect? I would hope the Bears abide by that game plan. I would hope the Bears prioritize running. Allow Mitch to stay comfortable. Get the playbook away from Matt Nagy. I hope that happens. And I hope the defense can just be competent. Hey, it'd be great if they could come in and be the 2018 Bears. But no one's asking for that. Just don't drop an interception, please. Don't waste away easy turnovers. Just do your job. Your job is to wreak havoc on Drew Brees. Your job is to force New Orleans to prioritize running the football only. Your job is to scare the Saints out of even thinking about passing the football. That's your job on Sunday. And oh, by the way, if Drew Brees does throw down the field, and make a mistake, which he's bound to do, catch the damn football. Just catch it. I know you're not wide receivers, but you could catch it. If that happens, I don't see why the Bears couldn't win. There's a real possibility here. You'll hear national media, some local media, tell you otherwise, but that's not the case. The Saints aren't as mighty as people make them out to be. And the Bears played them well in the regular season with Nick Foles. It went to OT. Just because the Bears are 8-8 doesn't mean they're not talented. The Bears have so much individual talent, it's actually mind-boggling that no one gives them recognition. Allen Robinson, primo number one wide receiver. David Montgomery, great running back. Darnell Mooney, good year. Roquan Smith, Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks. Mitch Trubisky to an extent. This isn't the New York Jets. This isn't a team with no talent, trying to tank. They're here for a reason. They were considered one of the top seven teams in their conference. I don't care about the new seeding and the new format they're in. They're 8-8. What happens if the Bears do win? What will people say? How will this be spun? Who returns? What does this determine, if anything? This is as big a game as the Packers game, if not bigger. It was ridiculous to me to determine all this stuff based on one Packers game. Should Mitch stay or leave? Well, we'll see what they do. Should Matt Nagy be fired? Well, we'll see if they beat the Packers. Will Ryan Pace return? Well, it depends on that one game. It's a Week 17 game. And they got in. Now it's the postseason. These games matter more and more. The narrative about Mitch not beating a good team, that could go away. And if you all recall, back in 2018, Mitch did not do bad in that Eagles game. He did put the Bears in the best chance to win. And had it not been for Cody Parkey, Mitch would be an undefeated playoff quarterback too. He can beat good teams. Maybe not this year yet, but he's done it before. He's played in the postseason before. He knows what the atmosphere is like, and he knows the pressure surrounding him and his team. He's still fighting for a contract, not with just the Bears, but with any team. He's still fighting to tell people, hey, I belong in the NFL. I'm not a bad quarterback. Ryan Pace is fighting to justify the roster he has. See, they're good, I told you. Matt Nagy is already retained, but he's fighting for legitimacy. Stop questioning him, right? He wants people to stop questioning him and stop questioning all of his quote-unquote success already. Guys on this team are fighting. Much different from New Orleans. Drew Brees is fighting for absolutely nothing. As of today, we still don't know if Alvin Kamara will play. Michael Thomas, although good, has been in and out all year. He hasn't fully committed. There are holes. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Don't soak in the idea that the Bears have absolutely no shot. Everyone's saying it. Vegas, other pundits, it's not necessarily the case. The Saints are deceptive. Their record is, and Drew Brees certainly is. Stop remembering him from 2010. Remember him for 2020. Remember the Saints for 2020. Without Drew Brees, they still won. Last year, without Drew Brees, they still won again. He doesn't do much anymore to control the outcome of a game. If the Bears could just plug up Alvin Kamara, they're going to be fine. It's going to be a close game. So do yourselves a favor. Don't believe all the hype. Don't be told the Bears have no chance, you're crazy. It's not true. It isn't. The NFL playoffs are 10 times different from the NBA, the MLB, the NHL. It's one game. Who's better? on that day. The Saints may be the better team, yes. On that day, who's going to be better? That's what you have to ask yourself. On this one specific Sunday, who's going to be the better team, Saints or Bears? And I think in a winner-go-home matchup in the playoffs, anything is possible. The Bears have a path to victory. It may be narrow. It may be tough to visualize. But I believe they do. And if they do win, it's going to be a very interesting day Monday morning. What will the new narrative be? What will be peddled by everyone? Who will be given credit? If they lose, what happens? It's a very interesting time to be following this team. And this game is far from over, even though everyone tells you it already is. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Bob Nightingale comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $250 free dollars to bet on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You must be 21 plus. You must be an Illinois resident. You could bet $250 free dollars on any game you want for this upcoming weekend. Bears Saints? The Bears are +9.5. I'm betting Bears if I were you. Use this promo code and bet the Bears because that line is ridiculous, and that's an easy way to win some money. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports Talk Chicago, here with John Zagluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a baseball columnist at USA Today, a Baseball Hall of Fame voter, and an MLB Network insider. Please welcome Bob Nightingale to the program. Bob, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Yeah, doing great, John. Thank you.
So, Bob, what was your reaction to the Francisco Lindor trade?
You know he was going to either to the Mets or the Blue Jays. You never heard any other team involved. Obviously, this has been going on since November. The biggest surprise was just that Carlos Carrasco was part of it. So, you know, to upgrade the rotation plus Lindor, that was a stunning part. But, you know, Cleveland had made sure to let all the teams know in November that he'll be gone before opening day. They didn't want to give him a single paycheck.
Would you say the Mets are World Series contenders now after the trade?
They are. I mean, they're not a contender like the Dodgers or the Padres or maybe even the Atlanta, but certainly they're top, you know, 5-6 teams in baseball. I still think the division goes through Atlanta. You know, we'll see what happens here. Atlanta is still very good, great rotation, but they're certainly contenders. With getting Lindor and Carrasco, and you know, they still got room to make another big move.
What do you think the next big move is?
I'm not sure. I mean, they had discussions with the Cubs for Chris Bryant, which would make sense. You put him either in, at third base or left field, perhaps left field. They said those discussions, still ongoing. They don't think it's as likely as it was before they got Lindor. But moves like that, I'm not sure about a George Springer. Unless Springer's price tag drops, and I believe he's asking for over 150, I'm not sure that they're ready to jump into that market. But, you know, they'll do something. You know, they could get a closer, too. Liam Hendricks is still out there.
Do you think the Cubs trade Chris Bryant to the Mets or anybody before the season begins?
I think they'd certainly like to. I mean, the Darvish trade showed that. So not to, give a single paycheck as well, talking about, you know, $20 million is going to make, can walk at the end of the year. So, they definitely like to move him. So I'd be surprised if he's not moved. The interesting part will be, do they pay part of that salary, which they may, to get a decent prospect back, or, you know, a bona fide prospect.
Bob Nightingale here on Sports Talk Chicago. Bob, are you satisfied with the Cubs' direction right now? The Yu Darvish trade, now they're talking about Bryant. Do you think it's time for them to rebuild?
Well, I think this is why Theo Epstein stepped down. He didn't want to be part of that rebuild. You know, when you're walking away from $10 million like Theo did, you know, it shows that, you know, let me keep my legacy intact here without, you know, without blowing this thing up and not being part of it when it gets good again. So, you know, I think Jed Hoyer said it best, where, you know, kind of retooling. They're not, you know, bringing it down to, you know, the gut core like they did years ago before their playoff and World Series run. And let's face it, they're in a very good spot, or a very fortunate spot, that no one's stepping up to the National League Central. Everybody's cutting back or staying put. So, you know, the Cubs could go, you know, 500 and stay in that race until, you know, last week of September.
Could they win the division despite saying they're retooling?
You know, they could. I mean, that's how mediocre the NL Central is. I mean, right now it's easily the worst division in baseball. And, you know, I think the Central, both Centrals got exposed last year when everybody got knocked down in the first round. So, and now everybody's either, you know, look at the Reds, you know, they're, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they're shopping people, they, you know, give away their closer. So I think the, you know, division is still there for the taking, but yeah, the Cubs still could win this thing. But then, you know, then I guess you ask yourself, you know, what does that mean? I mean, you win the division, you know, can you really go very deep at all in the postseason?
And is that something people should be considering? Like, for example, if the Cubs did make it, could that be hindering the retool? Could that just be getting in the way of what they're really trying to do?
I don't think so, but I think it would be a huge, you know, just a huge bonus. Like, you know, oh my God, still made the playoffs, and we're rebuilding, retooling at the same time. So no, I don't think it would play a factor at all. The only change it would make is that the trade deadline, July 31st, if all of a sudden they said, you know what, let's go for this thing. So we'll trade away a couple of prospects to get a ready-made player. I don't think they would do that. I don't think they're going to stop what they're doing. So I just think it's a bonus that you can stay competitive, if not, you know, have a legitimate chance to win the division while retooling at the same time. I mean, we drive everybody else at division, particularly in St. Louis, you know, it's crazy.
Were you satisfied with the return for Yu Darvish?
No, I was surprised how low it was. I really was, especially when you're talking about, you know, 3 years of control. I mean, you look at what the Padres gave up, you know, to go get Blake Snell. Granted, Snell is younger, but still, I mean, you're talking about some legitimate players, some prized prospects. You know, the Cubs didn't get a single top 10 prospect in this deal. You know, it's almost like four lottery picks. You know, who knows how they'll turn out. But, you know, hey, the Cubs, you know, let everybody know that Darvish is available. Now is the best deal they got. So it's not like somebody else was offering something. I just think people are still a little skeptical of Darvish. Yeah, he had a good year last year, but in the NL Central, AL Central, a whole lot of pitchers had great years. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Are you skeptical personally of Darvish in last year and how it went?
Well, I just don't know how he'll pitch. I mean, you know, there's still the knock on him is a big game pitcher. You know, we don't know that. He did pitch very well in the postseason game last year. Struggled big time first year and a half or so with the Cubs. And then, you know, pitched very well. I mean, had some electric stuff. So I still think he's a outstanding pitcher. You know, is he worth $20 million a year? I guess we'll find out. And he is going to a nice pitcher's division. I mean, a lot of Cy Young winners have come from the NL Central, NL West. You know, there's not that many great offenses in the NL West, particularly outside San Diego. So I still expect him to pitch well, but we'll see. And but I was stunned just how little return was. You know, in the fact that nobody was willing to top that offer.
Bob Nightingale here on Sports Talk Chicago. Bob, are the White Sox World Series contenders this year?
Yeah, you know, they are. And let's face it, the American League is right now, you know, weaker than the National League. So certainly, you know, big boom for them having Francisco Lindor out of the division. You know, pretty much just now it leaves them and the Minnesota Twins, you know, fighting for the division title. You go out east, you know, the Yankees still have a gaping hole because they don't have DJ LeMahieu, shaky rotation. Toronto has a chance to be good. Tampa stripping down by losing Snell and Charlie Morton. You know, then out west, you know, pretty much you have the Oakland A's. I think Houston, you know, is going to take a step back as well. So you got to figure the White Sox are top three or four teams in the American League for sure.
What did you make of their acquisitions of Lance Lynn and Adam Eaton?
I love the Lance Lynn signing. I got to know him in St. Louis. Just an old school competitor. I mean, he'll, you know, he gets very upset if he's not going 7-8, you know, innings at least. He'll pitch 200 innings. Obviously, he pitched for La Russa before, so they knew what they were getting. But yeah, just a workhorse, a great guy in the clubhouse, but just a you know, an old school approach. I love that move. And I mean, I was hoping to go bigger, like go get a Michael Brantley or something like that. You know, and maybe even, you know, bring in a Schwarb or a Jock Peterson, something. So, and they know Adam Eaton. They know he's a grinder type guy. You know, the knock on Adam, of course, is the game is missed with injuries. So they need him to stay healthy.
What's their number one need they still have to address?
Well, they got to get a closer. I thought they had a very good chance at getting Liam Hendrick. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that price tag is going too high. I think Hendricks is going to get a four-year deal, you know, for over $50 million. So, I mean, worst comes to worst, they can still bring Colomy back. But, you know, like them to, you know, really make that a big-time bullpen. And they could still use a North starter for sure.
Who do you think they do sign to fill those two roles?
I got a feeling they do bring Colomy back.
Okay.
On the other side, who knows? I mean, got like a Odorizzi's out there still, you know, those type of pitchers. So, you know, I think it's, you know, it's not going to be a you know, it's not going to be a Trevor Bauer or anything like that. But I think they can find that guy because the market is still so flooded. And I think, you know, the White Sox, like a lot of teams, will kind of sit back and see who falls in the lap. By the end of January, early February.
More to come with Bob Nightingale in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Bob Nightingale still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Bob, what's your take on the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot this year?
Well, very weak, you know, first-year class, and you know, the big question really is, will Curt Schilling make in the Hall of Fame? You know, he was over 70% last year. You thought it was almost a lock that, okay, at the new class, he'll be the only guy getting in. But right now he's trending below that, you know, just with his, you know, views on Twitter, things they've said, I think are hurting him. I thought Omar Vizquel had a outside chance. But with the domestic violence, you know, he's not going anywhere either. And, you know, the support hasn't been there yet still, you know, for Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens.
I know you might be revealing your ballot later. Would you mind revealing part of your ballot or what your take is on the current ballot itself and the players you may or may not have voted for?
Well, I voted for three new guys. I won't reveal that yet, just okay. Haven't divulged it. But the other guys are all, you know, coming back in my ballot, you know, including, you know, Schilling and Omar Vizquel, Jeff Kent, you know, Bonds and Clemens. So I did vote for 10 people. And so I still hope Bonds and Clemens get in. This is the ninth year, one more year to go. And I think next year will be fascinating because, you know, hey, if someone's going to vote for Alex Rodriguez, or even David Ortiz for that matter, but particularly Rodriguez, how in the world can you not vote for Bonds and Clemens? So I think next year will be fascinating.
Where do you stand on Ortiz and A-Rod?
Ortiz, definitely. Okay. A-Rod, I think, falls in the Manny Ramirez class where, you know, hey, he missed the biggest drug penalty in baseball history. He actually hurt his team by missing games. So I have not voted for anybody who was suspended by baseball. Clemens and Bonds, where they did it, it happened when it was a wild, wild west. They were never suspended a single day. So all they did was help their teams win, where guys like, you know, Manny Ramirez, A-Rod hurt their teams because they were suspended for games. So I think there should be a big line of demarcation here between players who were suspended for drug use and players who were not, and Clemens and Bonds were not.
Let me ask you this. Do you think steroid users from that era are already in the Hall of Fame in some capacity?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, really? No doubt in my mind. That's what is upsetting. It's like we're letting some of these guys in, but yet we're going to hold back Bonds and Clemens because they were too good. they were the elite of the steroid class. Bonds and Clemens, two of the greatest players who ever played the game. You can argue Bonds is the greatest player since Babe Ruth. That part bugs me. And people say, well, there was never any, smoking gun and stuff like this on some of the other guys. But yet, everybody knew the suspensions. Everybody saw it. You look at guys right now. I mean, I know people say, well, reporters should have done a better job back then. And, you report what you had. I did a story back in 94 about steroid use being out of control. I did a story a couple of years ago at the All-Star game that, hey, better look because there's a lot of funny stuff going on. So, I don't believe steroids are out of the game now.
What do you think about some of your colleagues who maybe voted for Jeff Bagwell, let's say, or Pudge Rodriguez, but refused to even consider Bonds or Clemens or the other guys on the ballot right now?
Yeah, I don't understand that. And I've had conversations. They say, well, there's no proof. The proof of Bonds and Clemens, of course, is that, whether it's personal trainers or, the Balco thing. But I will say both those guys went to court and spent millions of dollars clearing their name. It's like, do we really think that a Pudge Rodriguez lost 40 pounds this time, when drug testing came out, nothing funny was going on? Or some of these guys, I think the last 10 years, about three or four steroid guys have been inducted. And I know people say, well, there's, no proof and look at all the smoking guns and Bonds and Clemens. I agree with that. But also, we have to be very naive to think you haven't voted for some steroid guys here, but instead, penalized the two greatest players, Bonds and Clemens.
And Bob, before we finish up today, last question. Your favorite Hall of Fame player is who?
Ooh, probably my favorite guy I've been around, and I think he's the greatest media darling, certainly in the last, 30, 40 years, is Tony Gwynn. Fabulous person. I mean, you walk in the clubhouse and you sit, talk baseball with him for a couple hours, and after games, you would do a story on a teammate, say Bruce Hurst, and you'd have to try to squeeze in a quote from Bruce Hurst because Gwynn was so good talking about Bruce Hurst. But just a great, great guy, and just a heartbreaking that he's still not around.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure, and best wishes to you as the offseason continues and spring training is right around the corner. Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure. Take care, John.
Great talk there with Bob Nightingale, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Bob Nightingale himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTaub, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Until then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No!
Where are the turtles?